She looked into the face of the man with graying hair and white whiskers, curtsied and said, "Your village is perfumed by the finest apple orchard I have ever seen in my life, monsieur. It is as though I am smelling the fields of heaven itself." The entire gathering seemed to expel a single great breath, and somehow mirrored upon almost all the faces was the knowledge that she had done something quite right. But before anyone else could speak, the little girl's voice piped, "See, Papa? What did I say? She talks so funny!" And the entire gathering joined in laughter, dispelling both nervousness and concern. So when Louise pulled Catherine about to where the women stood and said, "And this is my mother, Marie Bellevaux," she had the courage to rise from another curtsy, take the woman's work-worn hand and say, "You have raised the finest daughter on God's earth, madam. It is an honor to call her friend." Louisa's mother had the slightly pinched expression Catherine had come to associate with women more comfortable with criticism than praise. Yet this day, Marie Bellevaux was able to respond with genuine warmth. "You are indeed as lovely as my daughter has described." There came another tongue upon her arm, and Catherine found herself facing a man not much taller than herself. Yet there was an air of immense strength about this man, with his cleft chin and ruddy features and dark hair. His compact body seemed ready to spring with barely contained power, a force which was mirrored in his black eyes. Louise said quietly, "And this is my husband, Henri." "Your servant, monsieur," Catherine said, curtsying a third time. "It is an honor to have come to know your lovely wife." "She is that, Madame Arrault." And the flashing smile broke through with all the force of this powerful man. "I have not been honored with a curtsy from one such as you. Not in all my born days. I...
He drifted to a stop, blushing furiously, and Catherine's sincere, "Thank you, Henri," rescued him from further embarrassment.
The good-natured surge of people pressed in on all sides, talking and gesturing and bowing over Catherine's hand. A few hung back, and she caught sight of occasional dark glances exchanged from those on the outskirts. But most were both friendly and eager. She allowed herself to be swept first in one direction, then another, until she was some distance from the only person she knew in this press of humanity. Yet it did not matter. Despite the fact that she understood only a portion of the hurried speech coming at her from all sides, she had the assurance that she was truly among friends. Calm finally reigned when Jacques Bellevaux shouldered his way forward and handed Catherine a pewter mug.
"It is our custom to toast the season's crop with the first taste of last year's cider. You would do us a great honor to make the toast yourself, madame."
"Oh, but..."